I swear to God, if people don't like this potato salad at this baby shower and be like, you offend my family. Hate spinnerbait, but we love everyone. That it finally happened. Someone finally pointed out in this book that she is named after a famous basketball coach. Bow, 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 bow. Confetti streaming everywhere. Hi everyone, it's Bethany. With me as always is Michael Ann, and we took a little break last week, but we're back. We're rejuvenated. We're stressed out about money, but what else is new?
Buy our bracelets. Will you buy our bracelets?
Please.
Please.
We are two girls just out here trying to go to Sweden and help us. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, that's like not a real issue. We're like, we really want to go to Sweden. I know. We also need to pay our bills.
Yeah, is the thing. It's more the bills that are a constant stress. But then when you add fun trip expenses on it, you're like, oh, I still have to be an adult and pay the other things that I always have to pay for.
Yes. I also wanted to bring this up before we started recording, but then you stressed me the fuck out.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to.
But I was thinking, since our recording is going to be a little inconsistent and our Discord isn't as active as it once was, I was thinking we might pause the Patreon subscription so nobody's getting charged while we're I guess
a little like
all over the place. I have a thing going on, so I will be probably back and forth from Boston last minute pretty frequently coming up here. So things are weird, and we'll probably just pause that $3 a month.
I think is fair. Yeah. I don't want to charge anyone for not getting the full shebang.
Yes.
Although I will try my best. The other day I was like, oh my God, it's the end of March, and like March usually feels like a long month, and it just feels like it's gone by so quickly and stressed. But anyways, I will try my best. Michael Ann is probably not going to be the most active person in the Discord, but I will try my best on weeks if we are not providing an episode to at least hop in the Discord to chat with the peeps. I just miss chatting. I don't know if y'all notice this, but I'm a real chatty broad. So we'll chat with the people. We can talk whatever you want to talk about. Taylor Swift, Sarah Dessen, how's your March Madness bracket doing? I'm not doing great, but my Final Four is still intact, so there's hope, y'all. I think I got 11 out of – for the people that made it to the Sweet 16, I think I got 11 picks out of 16. So I'm not, like, super mad at those odds.
Yeah.
Basketball.
Word.
It's a good time.
Sport. Word.
Love it. Sport. Although Michael Ann, she's a real sporty girl. But yeah, no, I think that's fair. And
I actually went to 3 baseball games this week.
Oh my God. Who is she?
Yes. I mean, they were all my nephews. The oldest
still counts.
One being 14. Yeah, he was 14. He's almost 14. He's 13. And then his brother, who's 11. And then my other nephew who's like 9. So it wasn't like super crazy, but I did go. I did watch sports.
You did watch baseball. She could tell you the difference between a run and an earned run. But we just don't have the time.
We exactly.
But she would. She'd go into a full details for us.
Yes.
She's a baseball aficionado. She knows her stuff, everyone. She knows her stuff.
I do.
But we are here to talk about chapter 11 of What Happened to Goodbye, or else she would tell you.
Of course.
What did we read last time? Who knows?
Who knows, y'all?
Who knows? Stuff is going on with McLean's mom, as per usual. She was all, like, terrible to her, which shocker shocks. But she called her up and was like, here's the deal. I don't spend the last few months of my senior year in court. I will come visit you. Here are the dates and times that work for me. Dave, being a little cutie, as per usual, who's helping clean out his garage, I think, with his dad.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, Deb, absolute legend, always. Deb for president. And yeah, I just really think Deb could get shit done. She's what we need in these trying times. But I think that's about all we got. That's about all that you missed on Glee, folks. And now we will dive in. I think we're ready.
We're ready to Freddy. Chapter.
We're ready to do this.
11. McLean is at the library. She is trying to find a map of downtown like 20 years ago, she says. So the librarian leads her into a room, pulls out all the stuff that she needs, the maps, the documents, and leaves her, the librarian leaves.
Do you like the slight shade to the old Fraser Bakery where she talks about there being a fireplace and it says a real one? And I was like, oh shots fired.
Shots fired.
Shots fired. The old Fraser Bake there.
Yep. I love, so Deb has created a couple different systems to increase overall working efficiency. So we have CAA, which we talked about in the last chapter. I do not remember what it stands for, but it's there. And then there's STOW, same time owed weekly, a written schedule that ensured one of us was at the model every afternoon. PROM, progress recap overview meeting, held every Friday. And McLean's personal favorite, SORTA, scheduling of remaining time and actual.
I love Deb.
I wish I was Deb. Like, how do I become this person? I mean, I'm not this person, so I'll never become this person. But damn, I wish I was.
I think my friend Katie is a Deb.
Oh, my God. 100%.
She is such a Deb. And I am in awe of her constantly. And I'm jealous of her and her organization and her ability to do everything all the time.
Yes.
Yeah. I think you're going to get to hang out with a real live Deb here in like a month and a half's time.
Yes. I started following Katie on Instagram, and y'all, it's like every weekend she's like running marathons. She's on a trip here. She's on a trip here. She's running a marathon here. I'm like, girl, what? What?
And what, how you have the time, how you have the energy, she's in like 5 different clubs. Do you know, it's the run club, and this is the friends. We do the book club with the dinners, and we do the snow shoeing, whatever. I don't know how that's a real thing. You know how, like, on You're Wrong About, Sarah always has, what is her name, Blair Braverman,
mm-hmm.
come on to talk about, like, the outdoorsy stuff. And I was like, oh, man, like, the outdoor, like, Katie is my, like, Blair Braverman. Like, I would have to contact her to be like, people who actually go snowshoeing for fun, can you tell me about nature like, and how it could kill you, but how it's beautiful? That would be Katie. She's a Deb.
She is a Deb. She has a spreadsheet for us for Sweden. It's very serious. Yeah.
Very serious. I mentioned something about a packing thing, and she's like, I'll add that to the spreadsheet. I'm like, okay, Deb, go off.
Yeah, seriously. Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. Our very own Deb.
Our very you, Dev. Man.
Love
there
that.
You go.
So she says Deb had also created a listserv for the model project, as well as a blog that documented the progress we put in together. What's a listserv?
I feel like that's something I knew at one point in time, but it's like one of those things like LiveJournal that's like gone out of fashion. So I'm now going to have to look it up because it's going to drive me crazy.
Yes, let's look it up.
Is that like an email chain thing?
Maybe.
Yes. It's a method of communicating with a group of people via email, which now we just like can do easily through most email apps. But back in the day, if you wanted to do like a group thing, I think that was like the way to do it.
It still exists.
Yeah. So people are still using it, probably. But yeah, I love that she's just sending them email updates about this model. Like, she has completely taken, and I love that the three of them have just somehow like gotten stuck with it. Like, Deb wanted to. Dave basically was forced to because of volunteer hours, which he could have just gotten his paper signed like all the other delinquents, as they called them. But he's a good kid, so he shows up. And then McLean just got roped into it. Now yes. She's like on a listserv. Like, that's crazy.
I know. I love that.
Absolutely crazy.
So there's somebody else in the library with her, and it is Jason. Our boy Jason. Now, if you remember the last time a library was involved with Jason, we had the iconic scene of Macy jumping over the info desk. See you later, icon. And we see in this chapter here that Jason has really grown and evolved. Yes. And I love that. He talks about how, you know, he was at the library for a while. He knows the librarian by name, Lauren. He is reading something called A Prayer for Owen Meany. Is that real or is that a fake book?
I was going to look this up and I forgot. So now, everyone, we're going to look it up right now. It sounds like it is a real book, but I also wouldn't be surprised if it's fake. Because I feel like most things Sarah puts in are usually not real.
Oh, it is real.
And is real?
Yes.
Okay, I was like, it sounds like I've heard of this.
It's by John Irving.
John Irving. A Prayer for Owen Meany. Yes, okay. Published in 1989. Everyone out there being like, I thought you all were like liberal arts majors and you didn't know this book. Sorry, everyone. I was never forced to read it in school. Which is maybe a good or a bad thing. I'm uncertain.
Look at this. It tells the story of John Real Wright and his best friend Owen Meany growing up together in a small New Hampshire town. According to John's narration, Owen is a remarkable boy in many ways. He believes himself to be God's instrument and sets out to fulfill the fate he has prophesied for himself.
Interesting.
Interesting. So that could be like a little nod to, Jason's little... thing. You know, he thought he was like the smartest guy in the world, off for great things, ditching everybody, mm-hmm. being horrible to girls, and now he's like I'm humbled.
Now he's humbled himself. Yes. And we love this version of Jason so much more.
Mm-hmm. He says, I used to work here for a while, nothing like the kitchen at Luna Blue. McLean's like, Dave said you went to Harvard, and he was like, yeah, it didn't really work out though. And she says, sounds like a lot of pressure, the school you guys went to, the college courses, being so driven academically. And he says, it wasn't all bad, just not what I wanted eventually. Ugh, if I could know exactly what happened at Harvard, that would be amazing.
I know. Someone write Sarah. Sarah.
Sarah, what happened at Harvard?
Story? I want to know. I love that Sarah's protagonists are always like female, you know?
Yes.
We love a good coming of age story about a lady. But every once in a while, and I'm like, yeah, I would like a Deb spinoff. And I also really want a Jason spinoff, which are things I never thought I would say. But then you get to this book and you're like, there's potential here with Jason's story. And I need to know more.
All we need from Jason is like a short story or like a chapter.
Yeah.
We don't need a lot.
We don't need a lot. There's just things that I want to know.
She'll never write that, but I wish that she would.
No. But yeah, same. Same.
So, yeah. So then he goes back to his book. She is looking for, on the map, that big building house type sitch that's behind her and Jason's, not Jason, her and Dave's houses. She finds out that it was a hotel. So she... Yes, which
is interesting.
She writes that down. She writes down the parcel number of the hotel and the official address so that she can look into it more thoroughly, probably on the internet. And then she gets a text from Deb. Stowe reminder, you're scheduled 4 to 6 today, smiley face. Oh my God. I just love her.
Deb?
So she's like, perfect. It's 3:50, right on time. She goes to the restaurant. Jason's like, I'll walk with you. And when they're leaving, the librarian's like, thanks for your help with the catalog system earlier. You're a genius. And Jason is clearly embarrassed, which he wouldn't have been embarrassed a couple books ago. He would have been like, yeah.
He'd be like, of course I am. You're welcome.
Yes. You're welcome, peasant.
I'm the best. You're welcome for being in my presence. And now he's like, oh, stop.
Now he's like, I'm not. She's like, wow, you really are brilliant. And he's like, no. Anyway, so did you find out what you were looking for? And she says, sort of. So they're walking. And she says, I'm closer than I was at any rate. And he said, well, that's a start. That's good, right? And she nodded. She says, this was true, but anyone can begin. It was the part with all the promise, the potential, the things I loved more and more, though. I was finding myself wanting to find out what happened at the end. Such a Sarah Dessen little epiphany here.
Little gem there.
Love that so much. I love it.
Love it. We love it. Yeah, that's a Sarah Dessenism right there for sure. When she shows up, it's like 4:05. And again, I can't stress this enough. This is all volunteer work, y'all. Okay. Like, this isn't her actual job. And Deb's like, there you are. We were getting worried. And she's like, it's 4:05. Like, so then, of course, Dave has to kind of like, you know, lean into it. And he's like, you know that the Stowe waits for no man or woman. And she's like, sorry, like, I'll make it up, I promise. And he's like, yes, you will. Like, you're going to stay 5 minutes late now because you showed up 5 minutes late. She says here about the whole, like, Jason thing. She says, you know, what he said to me about Harvard and the choices he'd made. Amazing how you can get so far from where you planned and yet find it is exactly where you need to be. And it's like, yes, we said it before, but I'll say it again. I love this storyline for Jason, especially for all the young overachievers, the gifted kids, the this and the other thing that went to college and realized, like, this isn't for them, or, you know, didn't amount to maybe, like, what people think of as their potential. But I think Jason is a much better human being than he was when he was Mr. Harvard. So I think this is exactly where he needed to be. And, like, it doesn't make him less of a person. Like, he's a better person now that he's like found his calling, you know.
Yes.
So yeah, I love this storyline, and I just think it's great for him. It's great for people reading it to know that, yeah, like, just because you didn't go down the path you originally thought doesn't mean that you're not where you need to be, which also, again, fits for McLean and the family, the life she thought she was gonna have. Like, just because you don't have that doesn't mean that you're not, you know, exactly where you need to be.
Exactly.
So good stuff there. We love. So yeah, so they're sitting there, they're working on their stuff, their model, and then there's a bang, 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 and Deb and McLean are like hella startled by it. Dave does not seem startled by it in the least bit. And who pops up but Heather, Ellis, and Riley, and they all appear to have this plan, as Dave calls it, a previous engagement. So he has to basically head out to go to this dinner. I do love, again, I love that this running thread of, like, Dave kind of being made fun of for his models. So Ellis is talking about the fact, he's like, oh, so look, those action figure things you used to stay with. And he's like, it was worse aging, Dave said loudly, and it very serious. Like, I love how serious he is. He's like, I'm excusing, they're not action figures. It was worse aging, it was serious. And of course, Deb over here with her Victorian orphanage is like, I just love them. I love how seriously they took this stuff. Fantastic. So apparently they like to go over to it's Riley's house. I don't know why I always confuse Riley and Heather. Riley, yes.
Yes.
Because her mom makes like the best fried chicken. They're talking about like how good it is. They ate like basically a whole chicken the last time they were over there. So then basically Riley decides to extend the invite because she realizes obviously she's like kind of being rude. Like, hey, we came here to collect Dave and the two of you are just going to stay here and continue working on the smile. So she's like, oh, you can come if you want. And of course, McLean being like, Deb takes us very seriously. She was mad at me for showing up 5 minutes late to this volunteer activity. She's like, oh, you know, we're like busy here. And Deb, who of sweet little angel Deb, who never gets invited to anything, is like, oh, we're good, we can we can make this up another time, let's go to dinner. So we're all on our way to Riley's house now to go to dinner, and Ellis's very sweet van, which is so like high school, like when you just like every friend had like an old van, you know what I mean?
I was and the friend
that is that is the car that you would take on like if you're going to the beach or going on a road trip, because it could fit all of you and like all of your stuff. And honestly, vans, bring it back, y'all. They're great.
Let me tell you about my van.
Please do.
So obviously it wasn't my van. You know, I shared my cars with my parents. But it was a 1993 square green van.
Yes.
The back seats, I don't even know if we had the back seats. I think we might have had one row, but typically it was empty because my dad used it as like a truck. Okay. The reverse didn't work. You had to wait and for the car to like warm up before you could reverse. But it was great.
This is fantastic.
Because like in the winter and whatever, me and my friends could park in a parking lot and all sit in the back of the van like it was a house, and it was like the best. And then I also sometimes I got the fancy minivan, which was my mom's minivan that had like electric doors and stuff.
Oh, hello. You didn't have to wait for that one to heat up to reverse now, did you?
I did not. And also the green one, instead of a radio, there was just a hole with wires sticking out. So it was beautiful.
This is the most. I like, weirdly today, actually, I was thinking about that, like your first car, whatever, which I was like very fortunate, which also this is the most like, y'all, okay, if I didn't sound like a spoiled brat at the beginning of the episode being like, we're poor because we're going to Sweden, it's like, shut up, Bethany, first world problems. But this is the most like, I was a spoiled brat kid. And I want to say like, overall, I was not a spoiled brat kid, but in this moment, in retrospect, I was spoiled. So my mom's plan when she bought her, she brought a Jeep Grand Cherokee. That was the car that she had for years. Her plan was, because both my sisters got used cars, my mom was like, I'm going to drive this for a few years. And by the time I turned 16, it would be like the amount of years used as my sister's used cars were. But we would know like the, you know, what it had been. Like we would know like it got constant oil changes, yada, yada, yada. And it's a good car. Like my parents were very into getting like SUVs for our like first cars because they wanted them to be a little bigger, a little safer, whatever. Mind you, SUVs roll like crazy, but in general they are supposed to be safe cars. So my mom got at the time a brand new 2004 Jeep Grand Cherokee, and then she was gonna go buy a new car when I turned 16. And I just remember being like, well, this isn't really fair because, like, I don't get to, like, pick it. Like, my sister is, like, yes, they both got used cars. But, like, my sister wanted to buy a Jeep. Like, she wanted, like, a classic Jeep, like a Wrangler. And she got to go, like, pick out her Jeep. And my sister got it. And I was like, I'm just going to, like, get this handed down to me. Y'all, what a spoiled brat.
Seriously.
I can't believe, like, I was generally upset about that. I was like, I'm not, like, I don't get any say in this. It's just being handed down to me. This very nice, like, when it was bought brand new, expensive Jeep Grand Cherokee. Like, okay, Bethany. But yeah, that was my first car, which again, I named the Burtmobile because I, to this day, am obsessed with the Truth About Forever. So obviously at the time, I was hella obsessed with the Truth About Forever. And my friend Katie, who we mentioned at the top of the episode, I named her first car Wes because I had Bert. So obviously she had to have Wes. Yeah, sorry, y'all. OG Sarah Destin fan over here. But it's the last thing I have a podcast where we talk about our books. But anywho, so today we're just like talking about like our old cars and like whatever. But like, I don't know. There is just like something about like your friends, your group of friends, like the first cars you had. And again, like my car was in like very good shape. Like, yes, it was a used car, but it was used by my mom. And I just like sometimes like, I mean, I love my car now. And I was just like, I want my car to like last me for like, people that like constantly want to change their car and get new ones can't relate. And I'm like, I love not having a car payment. I want this car to last another 10 years. I don't care that I was like a gazillion miles on it. I bought a Honda for a reason. I want it to last forever. But yeah, like my friend Diana, who I know listens to the show, she had this like old beat down Camry, but that thing like still run perfectly. And my friend Elisa was the van friend. It was also a green van. It was also old as dirt, and we loved it.
Was it square?
It was modern enough that it was kind of rounded. Like, it was an old van when she got it, but it was kind of rounded. But yeah, this is one of those things. Hi, Mom. Since I know you're our biggest fan, you listen to every episode, I would like to formally apologize for me being a brat about my car. I loved the Burrmobile. I loved that car. He kind of started failing me at the end, but he kept me safe in all of the years that I drove him, and I was very sad when I gave him up. Oh. But yeah, so I don't know, just something about your first car. Like, I think your first car should be like a little bit janky, you know what I mean? Like, you should look back at it fondly and be like, oh, I remember when the windows stopped working, or you had to wait to heat it up to reverse it. Like, if that isn't your first car experience, like, you're not doing first cars right. I just feel like Sarah Dessen does that really well. I mean, obviously the best example is the Burrmobile, like this old used, but like the fact that people are like proud of it. And it's like, yeah, like when you're a teenager, even though you have like a janky car with a hole in it, you're like, it's my car though. Look at my car.
Exactly.
And that is fantastic. But yes, so he introduces them to his wonderful van, and he's like, yeah, this is the car going to be taken to Austin. And it's like, of course, like that is going to be the friend group road trip car. Absolutely. And so, you know, they're talking about like, you know, basically McLean's like, oh, I really hope that we're not like imposing here. And she's like, no, like my mom always makes like so much food. Like, truly, it's not a biggie. I keep accidentally closing the book, everyone. And then I lose my place.
Really quick. I do just want to mention how many times they said that he was macking around in the... Like, macking is what we used to say when we meant, like, making out, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, for sure.
The makeout van, also relatable.
I saw him in the back of the van macking. Yeah, for sure, what you would say.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was like a teenage boy in the back of his van. Yeah, he's making out on that for sure.
Mm-hmm.
So they drive kind of out to the country, and McLean realizes that Deb is being, like, really quiet. So she asks her if she's okay, and she's like, yeah, I've just never done this before. And McLean's like, been out in the country, like been out in like not the like super subdivision-y part of the town. And she's like, no, like be invited to dinner like this by friends. Stop it, Deb. You're making me cry. And I'm like, oh my God. And I'm so happy that she is. I'm so happy that like she's finally finding herself a little group of friends. And so she's like, you know, it's really nice. And McLean's basically mentions like, we weren't even there yet. And she's already like this means so much to her, you know? And I'm like, oh my God, yes. And then Dave, little sweetie, he checks in on them too. He's like, everything okay with you guys? And she's like, yeah, you know, like everything's fine. Deb's just, you know, just like having a little moment. When they get to her street, Riley Street, they see this woman who has a beer in one hand and a cigarette in the other, walking two dogs. And Dave's like, oh, that's Glenda out for her evening walk. And they're like, oh, one beer down, one beer back, cigarettes as needed. It's like, bless. So that's her neighbor, which is Glenda. Fantastic. Good old Glenda. And so then Heather points out that's where she lives. She's like, you know, try not to be too stunned by its size or majesty. Ellis points out that he likes it because her dad always has moon pies. And this is where we learn that Heather, just like McLean, also lives with her dad. And I feel like feels a little bit of a need to kind of take care of him. So Heather's not too pleased by his moon pie addiction, but you know, everyone just like needs a little sweet treat every once in a while.
Everyone does, like, yeah.
A little sweet treat. She says he's a mess, but he's my mess, in reference to her dad. And then finally, they get to Riley's house, and they go in, and McLean's like, you know, it like really does smell amazing. Like, the suit had been like really hyped up to her. So she says it smelled like fried food and cheese and warmth and sugar, the best, most tasty bite you've ever eaten. And Riley's mom is kind of like chiding her, or not chiding her, well, I guess kind of chiding all of them for being a little bit late. Also, like, this is just the most wholesome, adorable thing that, like, once a week they all go over and have like a home cooked meal with her family. Like, that's,
it's too wow. cute.
I love that. Truly love that for them.
Also, really quick, just reverse. When yeah, she's perfect. Looking at Deb, she says, in the car, she's like, she was sitting so still, like, at any moment someone might realize their mistake and tell her to go. Aww, and I Deb. Was like, oh my god, what a beautiful observation and like a continuation of her character development.
Deb, we love her.
I'm back. Can you hear me?
I can hear you, yes. Zuko, do you have no respect for the fact that it is the Bachelor finale? Seriously. Who are we pulling for?
Kelsey A.
Kelsey A, you go, girl. We're all rooting for you, Kelsey A. Oh my god, I have to tell you something, but it's not related to anything, so I'm gonna wait until we're off air.
Okay.
But when I said that, I just like had a flashback to a conversation from earlier, and I was like, I have to share this with Michael Ann. I'm gonna send us off on a tangent, so we're not gonna go there right now because Bachelor finale. Anywho, so they get there. Mom found that they're late. Riley puts the blame on Dave, and she's like, it was Dave's fault. And he was like, I was volunteering, in fairness. And she's like, of course you were. And she's like, because you're a good boy. And so then Ellis is like, what about me? And she's like, the jury's still out. Fantastic. So then she says to Heather that her dad called and he's going to be late. Like, he called Riley's house, which, again, I love that, like, everyone is, like, this tight, like, little community. And she's like, why doesn't you just call my phone? You know, I try to explain, like, cell phones work well with other cell phones. And then another voice enters and he's like, oh, leave Joan alone, which I guess we're assuming that that must be her father. And she says she sees a man with a beard, also in a used sweatshirt. Everyone seems to be wearing used stuff, which we do find out that there is a game. It's tip off is actually at 7. So, like, we gotta go. Deb is like Michael Ann in this chapter and knows nothing about sports. She's like, tip off? and Riley's dad's like, you play Globe College at 7 sharp, like, we gotta go. And then this is the moment, y'all, where I literally went yes out loud, and I wrote in my notes here, finally. He says, he's like, once he was closer, he stuck out his hand. He's like, Jack Benson, you know, you have the same name as one of the best college basketball coaches of all time. Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you. This is what should be happening all the time.
Yes.
And she's like, yeah, you know, I've heard that. And it's like, yeah, because she was named after the man. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So then Deb, being an absolute VIP, MVP, all around gem of a human being, says, can I help you with anything, to Riley's mom? And Riley's mom's like, see, do you see that? That's called manners. Y'all should take lessons. And so Ellis is kind of like, you know, like, we try, but, like, you don't, like, want us to. And so then they, she kind of says something like, you know, your guest, come sit down. And he says to, McLean, Riley's dad, he's like, you know, like, you look familiar to me. Do I know you from somewhere? And she's like, well, I don't know. And he's like, oh, you're the one at the game with Dave the other day. Talk about great C. So it's pretty special to warrant that. He still won't tell me how we scored them. Dave. You absolute gem of a human being. That's not his story to tell, and so he hasn't told it. And yes, we love that for you, Dave. Absolutely fantastic. And Mrs. Benson also agrees. She's like, it's none of your business. Like, y'all just, you know, mind your manners. And so then she basically is like, all right, let's go ahead and, you know, sit down. Who wants to say grace? And McLean kind of, like, panics for a minute. And Dave's like, don't worry. That's a rhetorical question. You can never say grace as well as she does. So I love that she just, like, asks. And is like, but I'm going to do it, though. Bless this one. Mrs. Benson, we salute you.
We salute you.
So, yeah, so I'll sit down at the table. She says a little blessing over the food. And then she talks about this meal. She said, I learned from my dad that opinions about food are always biased and to be skeptical of even the most rave review. In this case, however, what I'd been told was not an exaggeration. After a few bites, I realized that this was true Southern food. Crisp chicken, creamy mac and cheese, green beans cooked with pork fat, fresh baked rolls that melted in your mouth. The iced tea was sweet and cold. The serving's huge, and I never wanted it to end. And that makes me really hungry, and I don't even eat chicken anymore because I'm a vegetarian. But, y'all, obviously I'm a little biased because I live in the South, but Southern food, fire. Absolute fire. Can't go wrong with it. So good.
So good. I agree.
Is anyone else in this country frying up vegetables as well as we are? No, they certainly aren't.
No.
We'll fry anything, and it's great. You want a green tomato? You want to fry it? Hells yeah. Delicious. Oh. Okra? We're going to fry it. Anything. We'll fry
Oreos?
Anything.
Go for it.
Go for it. We frying it. We eating it. We enjoying it. Absolutely fantastic. Good stuff. True story. I'm not a big sweet tea gal. I like tea. Like, I like flavored teas, but I don't really like sweet tea that much, but like the rest of my family does. And it is very funny when you go places not in the Southeast and you ask for sweet tea and they just give you like unsweet tea and give you like sugar packets on the side. And it's like, that is not how you know. It has to be when it's still warm. Yep. You have to put the sugar in, you have to let it steep. And if not, it's disgusting. It won't make it sweet. So everyone else in the country, do better.
As a true northerner, I hate sweet tea. I think it's gross.
It's pretty disgusting.
Sorry, y'all.
It's yeah.
It's
I'm not
too
like
much.
I said, I'm not a big fan, but I know that a lot of other people are. But yeah. I like peach tea and like raspberry, like I'll drink that, but yeah. I won't just drink sweet tea. My grandma on my dad's side, disgusting. Like, I swear to God, you drank that and it gave you like 10 cavities just from like a sip of it. It was, and like my dad was just like we would go to family functions at her house and people would just be downing this stuff. And I was like,
oh my God.
But that's like, if you really want like a good Southern sweet tea, that's you just, it's cavities. You just want cavities.
Like, yeah. My husband loves it. And I'm like, you're a little too old to be consuming that much sugar in one go.
You're like, that's a lot going on there. But yeah, that's, But yeah, so she's saying, you know, she's like so immersed in the food and the atmosphere. She realizes that she's like rivaling the amount of chicken that Dave's record was. And she says, you know, I realized how long it had been since I sat around a table this way, eating like a family. You know, she'd spent the last 2 years like eating on the couch, eating at one of her dad's restaurants that he was working on. You know, she talks about like her and Dave keep bumping elbows. Riley's mom peppered her with questions. You know, Ellis and Heather talked basketball with Riley's dad. Deb was telling Riley about the model and the plan she had for it. It was loud, hot, my face flushed. I suddenly understood again the appeal of food, how it was bigger than just having something made and then slid across a kitchen prep window. It was about family and home and where your heart was. Oh, beautiful.
So beautiful.
Some good shit right there. Some good shit.
It really is.
And yeah, she says like Opal had said about Luna Blue not so long ago. Beautiful. Yeah, that's exactly. I know it's like funny because like the Olive Garden commercials, like when you're here, your family. But honestly, like food is, it's a, and that's why it's like such a thing. Like, again, like just talking about like I'm biased, you know, but Southern food is the best. It is. It's like food is like about where you're from. It's like people culturally take a lot of pride in their food and. And it's just like, yeah, because it's more than about just like what you're consuming. It's about like the people that you come from and what that means to you. And if you're white, it just reminds you about all the land we stole for spices and then decided not to use.
Yeah. Yeah. I was going to be like, what the hell problematic food is like, what do I associate with food from home? Buffalo chicken calzones.
I mean, it sounds good.
That's
though.
It. And my dad's pasta sauce. My dad makes a mean pasta sauce.
Like, Easter is this weekend, and one of our coworkers is having, like, a little after-work baby shower on Friday. And I volunteered to make potato salad because I was like, I'm going to make potato salad anyways this weekend because it's like Easter. But literally when I talk about potato salad, I say Aunt Lisa style or grandma style because like that's what potato salad is to me. It's not like potato salad. It's like the people that I associate have like the way they made potato salad. And like I don't know. I think it's like something beautiful about like people passing down, you know, like recipes through the years. And it does like I eat that potato salad and I'm like 5 years old sitting at the table with my grandma. Like I'm not adult me, you know, so I don't know. Aww. It's just beautiful, y'all. Food brings people together. I swear to God, if people don't like potato salad at this baby shower and be like, you offend my family.
How dare you?
How dare you? Put some respect behind this potato salad, okay?
Oh, I love potato salad. Heart.
God, this is the people that don't, I like, don't understand. I'm like, y'all, it's delicious.
Andrew's family makes like pickle flavored potato salad though, and it's not
like
for me.
Very like Southern style is to put a little bit of pickle juice in it or like pickle like little pieces of pickle in it. I'm not real big on that either, to be honest. But yeah, I mean, I guess if that's what you grew up with and you like it, but I don't want pickles in my potato salad. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
I'm gonna pass on that. So yes, after dinner, they're put on dish duty. Mr. Benson excuses himself to go start up the game. And this is my favorite part about sports personally, hating other people. Just kidding, but not. He's like, look at that. Old dog face is only wearing two of his championship rings tonight. And Riley's like, oh, daddy hates Loeb College. I think this is what Sarah was saying is supposed to be Duke.
Yeah, I think so.
So obviously it makes sense that he would hate them. And so she's like, especially the Loeb coach, which again, if you were a UNC fan for many years, it was Coach K, and who coached at Duke for many years. And I think legitimately sold his soul to the devil, because that man did not age from like 1980 to when he retired only a couple years ago. So I was like, I don't know, what does this man do?
The Mitch McConnell special.
Yeah, basically, and was a pretty hateable guy, so I understand people for hating him. Unless, of course, you're a Duke fan, and then I'm sure you loved him. So, yeah, so Alice is like, doesn't everybody? And she's like, and then Heather says, no, you know, my dad is a Loeb fan, so stop the trash talking. And Mr. Benson is like, Joan only pulls for Loeb to be contrary. It's like rooting for Darth Vader. You just don't do it. And this does sound very much like people talking about their, like, most heated rival. Like, you will compare them to the dark side and every bad thing you can think of. Which is understandable. I can relate. And so, you know, they're like, oh, mom, go sit down. We've got this. And again, it's just like this really good family atmosphere. And this is just very obviously for McLean, like reminiscent of her old life. You know what I mean? Like her family sitting down to watch basketball. And again, like home cooked meals and just everyone being together. And it's just beautiful. And we learn here that Deb has never seen a basketball game. And everyone, of course, in this room is shocked because she lives in basketball country. And she's like, oh, my mom and I just aren't really into sports. And Dave says basketball is not simply a sport. It's a religion, which, yeah, I can. Again, growing up in the South, SEC football is literally some people are closer to that than they are to God. And which is saying something, because in the South, people really love God.
Yeah,
sometimes too much maybe. Anywho. But so yes, people again in obviously North Carolina, basketball is religion. And so Mr. Benson invites basically Deb over. He's like, no, you're done doing dishes, you're gonna come learn about God. And so he literally starts back all the way at like the invention of basketball. I love this. He's like, well, in 1891. I'm like, oh my god, this is fantastic. And Riley's like, sweet Jesus, he's starting all the way back. Okay. And she's like, college just can't come fast enough. And so then, you know, they're like, don't say that, next year we'll all be eating cafeteria food and wishing we were here. And so then Alice talks about, like, you know, they're Texas, how they're like saving up all this money to work their way through all these diners. And Dave apparently has gotten employee of the month at the old Frey Bake like 3 months in a row, which just seems like Dave.
Hell yeah, Dave.
It's mostly like a Dave thing. Mr. Benson is just like going on about the basketball. Deb's, you know, being Deb and like learning. Probably in like a month, Deb is going to be an expert at basketball because like Deb doesn't do anything halfway. You know, like she's about to like know more about basketball than anyone has ever known about basketball. And we love that for her. So yeah, so we kind of get to the end here and McLean says, you know, I looked at the window in front of me where I could see the TV reflected motion and light as the game moved past on it, the announcer calling every play, and made me think of my mother suddenly. And I wished in that moment that she could see me here in a real home with a family just like she wanted. Maybe it wasn't ours, but it was still good.
Aww.
Aww. The feels.
The feels. I also have to say, one thing that stood out to me in this little dinner chapter was that the entire time Riley's dad was sitting down.
Yep. Yep. And he didn't do dishes or like cook the meal, set the meal. He just like
drank beer.
No, that's 100%. He drank beer and like was like, well, I'm gonna excuse myself, the game's on.
Yep. Very Southern
household. But Mrs. Benson had to do everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Of course.
Sure, Mr. Benson, I'm sure you're a great guy and you know about the history of basketball. But, like, could you clean a plate once in your life, sir?
That'd be nice.
Just saying. Rude. Very rude. Also, I looked down briefly at my phone while you were letting Zuko out of the room. And a friend just asked in a group chat what we call our father-in-law. She's like, do you just look in his direction and hope that you understand that he's like, you're talking to him? And I'm like, yep, pretty much. Because you just don't, it's calling your in-laws by like a name is just weird. I technically call my mom and dad because that's what they asked of me. But I try to do it as little as possible because I feel weird saying it every time.
Yeah. Andrew just started calling my dad by his first name last week.
Oh, he said
it's really weird and he doesn't know if he likes it, but he's gonna keep going.
Yeah, it's very strange. But no, my in-laws are lovely people, but it's just, it's weird, it's awkward. You never know what to call people. Again, this has nothing to do really with what we are reading, but it just happened to come up during the recording of this episode and I need to share it with you all.
I love it.
Anywho, that was chapter 11. Hope you all enjoyed. Again, I'd like to apologize, Mom. I loved my first car. The burnt mobile was everything. And hopefully you understand that I'm grateful for him. But that's aside, I hope all of you have a wonderful rest of your week. Come hang out with us on Thursday if you want to talk some chaos. And if not, we'll see you next Tuesday for Descent. Unless we don't, in which case we'll keep you posted.
yes
But we love you all dearly. Please do take care of yourselves and bye
bye bye.